and here to chat all things NFL and a look at the fantasy waiver wire. Of course, we bring in our Tuesday regular, Matt Marchese of Sportsnet 590 The Fan in Toronto. Matty, what's happening, brother?
Not much. Just enjoying the cold surge that we've had here in the greater Toronto area over the last couple of days. I was in shorts last Friday. We had a snowstorm here 2 days ago. So this is Canada, I guess.
Yeah, I know we get Chinooks in Alberta and especially in Calgary, but no sympathy from us, man. We've been in negative. and have had snow for weeks. So you can take your shorts and shove them you know where, you know?
Yeah, I understand. I guess I'm barking up the wrong tree here.
Absolutely. I called the mutual friend of every program on Sportsnet, Peter Labardius, a few days ago, and he had mentioned it was 19 in Toronto. And I'm like, okay, well, we're going to end this call right now, and we'll just move on. So we'll move on from the weather discussion, and we will focus in on the NFL. I mentioned it coming in after that clip we played from Tom Brady. I know that they're done essentially right now, depending. I know the start time against the Lions on the 27th is still to be determined, but it looks like the Buccaneers are done with primetime games in 2020. I'm sure their fans are happy about that. There's no explanation for it, Matty. What do you think of Brady struggling in primetime in 2020? What's going on there?
I can't put my finger on it. Like you mentioned in the lead up, this is the greatest quarterback that we've ever seen. And to see him struggle like he has in these games makes absolutely zero sense. The one thing that maybe we can point to is there seems to be a history of quarterbacks in their first year with Bruce Arians as head coach, and their interception rate seems to go up for whatever reason. And Bruce Arians had some things to say on Tampa Bay radio yesterday about maybe Brady isn't reading the coverages right, and that's why he has these errant throws. That's the second time that Bruce Arians has thrown Tom Brady under the bus for something. So I don't know how that relationship is going, but it doesn't seem to be going all that swimmingly. Listen, Tom Brady has literally everything that he wanted. He's got a really good defense, although they did give up a bunch yesterday through the air, which kind of seems to be a problem. But the run defense is excellent. They have all the weapons. There's Antonio Brown. There's Chris Godwin. There's Mike Evans. There's Rob Gronkowski. They drafted linemen to help protect Tom Brady. I guess he could ask for a better running back, but I'm sure he asked for Leonard Fournette too when he became available. So I feel like Tom Brady's gotten everything that he's wanted, but it's not really working out the way he had planned over the last few weeks.
Highest target share of the year last night and season high 8 receptions, but only 57 yards for AB. What have you made of his fit? And you kind of talked about it there at the end, but just bigger picture, we had assumed that when he joined the Bucs, there were going to be this high-flying offense, and it really hasn't been that since he's joined them. What have you made of the former Steelers' fit in Tampa Bay?
I don't mind the fit, and for fantasy purposes, he's been good for PPR. He hasn't been good for standard leagues. And what I've noticed, and I actually wrote about this in my 10 Fantasy Thoughts article, which comes out tomorrow, is the problem with Antonio Brown right now is he's not getting any red zone targets. Those seem to always fall to Rob Gronkowski and Mike Evans. And for good reason, Mike Evans is great in the red zone and so is Rob Gronkowski. So I kind of look at it like he's been a really good asset in real football, but for fantasy, it's kind of been a little bit up and down early on. I think he's still getting his feet wet here. Let's not forget, he's played almost no football over the last year and a half. And there's something to be said about getting back into a rhythm. You can run all the routes you want in practice or with somebody on a field with nobody covering you, and you can be in the best shape that you think you can be, but it's totally different when you get to a game situation. And like in every sport, things just happen a lot faster when you're playing in the game. He's missing catches by like half an inch here and there that in any other season that we've seen him play would be a lock for him to catch. So I still think that there's some value there. I just think that it might take maybe another game before we really see him break out. The one positive, if you do have Antonio Brown on your roster, is that Tom Brady's looking his way. You can absolutely see that Tom Brady loves to throw him the ball. So I guess we just wait and see, but there is at least some optimism that we've seen over the last 2 weeks. I would say he's starting to get back into a groove a little bit here.
Final one, and then we'll move on to some other things in terms of fantasy, but this is maybe the toughest question for any NFL fan right now. Who's the best team in the NFC?
Oh, my goodness. I don't even know if there's an answer, because maybe you yeah. thought Green Bay was going to step forward here, but then they blow it late against Indianapolis. You know, Seattle has looked good, but their defense is still very questionable, although they got a big win. The Rams had only beaten the NFC East for the longest time and couldn't beat anybody else. Now, all of a sudden, they're leading the NFC West. I guess the way they've played so far, especially now with the injury to Drew Brees, I guess the answer is the New Orleans Saints. Their defense has been really good. Their schedule opens up a little bit here. I feel like their defense is finally starting to get back to where they were last year, because they certainly weren't that at the beginning of the season. I guess, you know, kind of twist my arm, and I'm going to say the New Orleans Saints. They won a game, albeit against the Atlanta Falcons, with Taysom Hill at quarterback, and I don't think he's all that great, but they still managed to do it. They did have 8 sacks, and I think Matt Ryan threw 3 or 4 interceptions, something like that. Like, it was crazy. So I guess I'll lean with the Saints, because I don't really think anybody else has kind of pushed their way ahead of the pack.
Yeah, I think you're right. I think by default, it would be the New Orleans Saints as we sit here today. He is Matt Marchese, all things NFL, all things fantasy football, here every Tuesday on the Big Show on Sportsnet 960 in Calgary. Okay, the Ravens COVID mess. Matt, last time you and I talked, we talked about J.K. Dobbins. They finally make him the lead back. He rewards them with a great performance on Sunday in that overtime loss to Tennessee, but now he's got COVID along with Mark Ingram. That offense, already hard to trust. This doesn't help. They've got a short week. How desperate do you got to be to pick up Gus Edwards right now?
You got to be pretty desperate. The only saving grace is that the Steelers did allow, I think it was over 200 rushing yards to the Ravens the last time these two teams played. Now, J.K. Dobbins was a big part of that, because he rushed for over 110 yards. So they don't really have anybody else. I think the one thing that you can count on with Gus Edwards is that he's going to get the lion's share of the carries. You're right. This offense has just become so unpredictable. When you, like, Hollywood Brown has done the greatest disappearing act I think I've ever seen in fantasy football. You literally cannot play him. Mark Andrews has become a touchdown dependent tight end. Lamar Jackson is really struggling because teams are making him throw the ball. I believe their best receiver to this point, or at least most consistent, has been Willie Snead, and he's not rostered anywhere. So as of right now, if you have Lamar Jackson, that means you probably didn't take a quarterback that you can, you know, trust as a guy that's going to fill in, and was probably just a bye week filler. So you're probably going to start Lamar Jackson. And Gus Edwards is going to give you volume. So if they get close to the goal line, maybe he gets a touchdown, maybe he gets two. He does have a very good career yards per attempt, so I'm not really concerned about that. It's just, I don't know how much they're going to be able to run the ball, especially if the Steelers start putting up points and the defense starts forcing turnovers, because, you know, with all the injuries that the Ravens have, they may be playing from behind and have to throw the ball a lot.
Yeah, it's crazy, man. And they're, you know, obviously with how much Lamar likes to run too, that makes it really hard to trust Gus Edwards. And you know, it's 2020 in a perfect nutshell. As you know, I would suggest, yes, only 4 catches for 28 yards, but Dez Bryant actually looked pretty good. And again, you'd have to be pretty desperate to pick him up, but that's kind of the status right now of the Baltimore Ravens offense. On the other side of things, when you're talking about the Steelers, just because we like to pump his tires a little bit because of where, you know, what his birth certificate says, Chase Claypool has got a legit case at Offensive Rookie of the Year. Do you agree or disagree?
I think right now, I would say he's in the top 3. And I think with the injury to Joe Burrow, that Justin Herbert is probably first, because he's been just absolutely incredible. James Robinson has to be given consideration, seeing that he's been on a terrible offensive team and is one of the most trustworthy running backs in the NFL right now. But Chase Claypool has been way better than advertised. When you talk about Ben Roethlisberger's history with rookie wide receivers, you don't really get a lot of success that rookie year. And that's just the way Ben is. It's kind of like Aaron Rodgers. You have to build that trust with Aaron Rodgers. With Tom Brady was the same way. But Claypool is surprising me in that I didn't think he was going to be this good this early. And I say that because as someone who is a Notre Dame fan and watched him during his collegiate career, he was also hindered by, you know, average to below average quarterback play. So you'd never really got to see what he was. You knew he was an athletic freak. You knew he could go up and make plays, but you didn't know he could be this good at the NFL level. Obviously, the Pittsburgh Steelers was a great landing spot, seeing their history with all the wide receivers that they've drafted and developed. Like, the list is endless, and it's insane how good they are. And even when you look at the three they have now in Juju Smith-Schuster, Diontae Johnson, and Claypool, you could make the case that that is the best trio of wide receivers. And probably pretty close second would be the Dallas Cowboys. But those are the two best threesome in the NFL. Claypool has just been so good. I really didn't think he was going to be very trustworthy as long as Diontae Johnson was in the lineup. But he seems to have even surpassed Juju Smith-Schuster on the pecking order, as Ben Roethlisberger just loves to look for him. His speed down the field and his physicality makes him such a unicorn among NFL receivers that Roethlisberger has to look his way. I believe he runs a 4.46, and for a guy his size, that's freak athletic. So I'm happy with what he's done. He's got 39 catches for 559 yards, and he's got a bunch of touchdowns. So this, it's crazy to think that this is how it's gone, but hey, it's 2020. Why should we expect anything less?
That's right. He is Matt Marchese, all things fantasy, all things NFL, here every Tuesday on the Big Show on Sportsnet 960 The Fan. Boy, last week when we talked, we were all about Jameis Winston, and they threw a huge curveball with Taysom Hill. Does he have any fantasy relevance, Taysom Hill, in the fantasy football world while Drew Brees is out? What say you?
Can we go back to last week and just edit everything I said about Jameis Winston and just put Taysom Hill in there? Like, can we do that? Because I feel like I was sewered by Sean Payton. Like, I feel like that was a personal attack by Sean Payton to start Taysom Hill. Because if you look at my Twitter timeline, there is a lot of, we don't need any more Taysom Hill. Let's leave it at that. That's it. Stop using him. Well, all he did was go out, score two rushing touchdowns, threw for over 200 yards. I think he only had four incompletions. And their schedule is pretty good going forward. I mean, they have the Broncos this week, who, against good quarterbacks, hemorrhage yards. They have the Falcons again the following week. Then they get Eagles, Chiefs, and Vikings to round out the regular season. And I don't anticipate that Drew Brees is going to be back. So yes, he actually has fantasy value, because in some leagues, he is actually tight end eligible as well. I believe on ESPN, he is tight end eligible. I don't know if they've changed that, but which is nuts to me, because, you know, if he's lining up a tight end, he's only blocking. He's never running out of there to catch a ball. However, he does have some value. If you just look at the matchups alone, there's plenty of opportunity to score points. I really thought Michael Thomas was going to be great with Jameis Winston. He was really great with Taysom Hill. So I think we're going to see a heavy dose of Michael Thomas. I think you're going to see, you know, as many runs out of the backfield as you did with Taysom Hill at quarterback this past week against the Falcons. That's just going to be the offense. So he's got touchdown upside to score on the ground. I believe he had a touchdown called back on a hold, on a passing touchdown. So If you lock that up, if he gets that passing touchdown, three touchdowns over 200 yards, 50 rushing yards, those are QB1 numbers. So I kind of look at it, and I'm almost ashamed to say this, but he may be a top 12 option every week going forward as long as Drew Brees is out of the lineup.
Oh, man, I'm not there with you, but I also I can't necessarily disagree. I would like to see him against a real defense, but he's not necessarily going to face one until, you know, week 16. against Minnesota, and obviously by then you're probably riding somebody else in your fantasy championship if you're still alive. How about this in Carolina, staying in the division? What do you do if you're a CMC owner?
Well, in some leagues that don't have the trade deadline, and if you're in a keeper league or whatever, and you're kind of making a push and you've managed to get this far without him, I think you got to trade him because I just don't know how much you can trust him at this point. If you can get some pieces, you know, that will help you, then I would make a trade now if you still can. Other than that, there's not really much else you could do because he's one of those, you know, kind of once in a lifetime players that does everything and is, you know, a league winner every year as long as he's getting the same volume. And we were given no indication when he came back that he wasn't going to get that same volume. Everybody thought that Mike Davis was going to have a role, and he didn't. So I sigh and I'm huffing and puffing because it's probably one of the hardest things to deal with, because when he comes back next year, if you can have him on your roster, then you're laughing. But if you're going for it right now, you kind of got to push the chips in. And if he's the guy that you have to trade, it's kind of like what we did with Saquon Barkley earlier in the year. We knew he was done for the year. Maybe there's some teams in dynasty leagues or keeper leagues that would take him on because they're out of it early or what have you. It's the same type of situation. The difference is that Christian McCaffrey's going to come back, we think. But how long can you hold on to him? I don't know how much longer you can hold on to him for. If you're in a redraft, you have to keep him just because there's no penalty for you for next year if you don't have him. But when he comes back, he's like 30 fantasy points a week. I mean, that's in PPR scoring. Like, that's nuts. Those are quarterback numbers. And even quarterbacks don't even put up that unless you're in a 6-point touchdown league. I feel like if you're close, you gotta make a move with him. But if you're kind of lingering on the outside with a chance to get in, you gotta hold on and pray you get in. Because if you just get in and he comes back, he could be the reason why you win a championship.
Shifting gears to the waiver wire, I know that there are a lot of people out there that are listening that love to stream defenses. How high on the list are the New York Giants this week facing Ryan Finley and the Bengals?
They've got to be pretty high on the list. And the Giants' secondary has actually been really good. Like, James Bradbury in coverage against wide receiver ones has been absolutely excellent. So everybody in Cincinnati takes a hit already with Ryan Finley at quarterback, and then they're going to take a hit even more because they're playing a really stout secondary. The Bengals don't run the ball well enough without Joe Mixon there to make any sort of an impact to make teams even think twice about stacking extra guys in the box. So they're just going to drop a bunch of guys back in coverage, and they're going to take away all sorts of passing lanes. I think that the Giants are a great streaming option this week, and you can't go wrong streaming anybody against the Jets, and that is the Dolphins this week, who managed to get turnovers at a breakneck pace, and they do have the ability, because of the playmakers they have on defense, to score touchdowns as well. So I think the Dolphins and the Giants are probably the two of the better streaming options this week, but you certainly can't go wrong with either one.
Away from that, away from streaming options, who's on your radar this week as we shift to look at the fantasy waiver wire tomorrow?
It seems like nobody's actually listening when we talk, because last week I said you got to go after Michael Pittman, and all he did this week was have 66 yards and a touchdown on 3 catches. So his ownership went up from, I think it was in the 20, I think it was 26% to only 44% of Yahoo leagues have him rostered. So I'll say it again. Go out and get Michael Pittman Jr. He's finally starting to get into a groove, coming back from injury, and Phillip Rivers looks his way. And he's got the ability to make big plays. Athletic guy, big guy, who's tough to take down. So that's a guy that I'm looking at. Tim Patrick is another rostered in 21% of Yahoo leagues. He has 23 targets the last 3 games, double-digit fantasy points in PPR scoring in 6 of his last 7 games, and Drew Lock loves throwing him 50-50 balls that he can go up and catch. At the running back position, James White has to be looked at in PPR leagues especially. He's rostered in only 40% of Yahoo leagues, and it's been a really, you know, awful season for him. Personally, with, you know, dealing with the passing of his father, and his mother was, you know, seriously injured in that same car accident. It's been a rough year. But now it seems like the role has opened up with Rex Burkhead's injury. He had 9 targets against Houston on Sunday, but he should get plenty of work going forward because nobody else in that backfield catches as well as he does. And Derek Carr at the quarterback position, because everybody wants to go out and get Taysom Hill if he's still there, I think Derek Carr is a great option. He's rostered in only 36% of Yahoo leagues. He gets the Falcons and the Jets in the next 2 weeks. He has at least 2 touchdown passes in 7 of his 10 games this year, as well as at least 239 passing yards in 7 of 10 games. We saw what he did against the Chiefs. It didn't look like the Chiefs were going to stop him at all on Sunday night. They managed to a little bit, but he's been doing a great job in that offense. He's proven a lot of people wrong. You know, Marcus Mariota was brought in and said, oh, well, Marcus Mariota, he might challenge for the job. No, Derek Carr's got the job. It's his to lose. He's been really good this season and surprised a lot of people. So he would be a guy that I would target if you can't get your hands on Taysom Hill.
Good stuff, Matty. As always, man, look forward to our chats every Tuesday. By the way, you can find, he mentions it, his 10 fantasy football takeaways. His article comes out every Wednesday. You can find it at sportsnet.ca. You can also follow Matt on Twitter at MattSN590. Good stuff, brother. We'll talk to you next Tuesday.
All right. Thanks. We'll talk to you next week.